Dr. Lawrence White of Our Savior Lutheran Church in Houston, Texas, on why they support Issues Etc.
Our Savior in Houston has deliberately included Issues Etc. as a significant part of our outreach ministry, and we regard every dollar that we've committed to this ministry is a dollar well spent in the extension of the kingdom of God, the proclamation of the Lord Jesus Christ, the demonstration that our Lord Jesus is not irrelevant to what's going on in the culture, that our historic biblical Lutheran theology is more urgently needed at this moment than at any other moment in history, and Issues Etc. is in the forefront of that movement.
To find out how your congregation can support this worldwide outreach, visit the support page of our website, issuesetc.org, and look for the Issues Etc. 300.
The only persons to whom I am irreplaceable are my husband and children. I am my kids' only mom, and I'm my husband's only wife, and it is my great blessing to be able to serve them.
The United States is not and never will be at war with Islam. Bin Laden was not a Muslim leader. He was a mass murderer of Muslims.
For as much as William and Catherine have consented together in holy wedlock, I pronounce that they be man and wife together in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost.
If you are going to church to learn practical tips for healthy living, I'll tell you what St. Paul said. If we are to hope for Christ only in this world, then we are to be the most pitied of all men.
Homeschool families love Issues, etc. We have issues.
I'm not a journalist, but I am given to believe that in the profession of journalism, whether it be a newspaper or a magazine, a broadcast outlet, whatever it may be, there are standards. There are even handbooks where if a journalist for that particular publication or broadcast outlet is going to use a word, they use it a certain way. They have a way that they like to use those words, define those words so that they're consistent in their use of words. Of course, one of the media's favorite terms to use when it comes to religion is fundamentalist. I wonder how the definition reads in those handbooks of journalism. We're going to be talking about the media's use of the term fundamentalist with Terry Mattingly here in the first 10 minutes of this Wednesday afternoon's Issues Etc. We're coming to you live this May the 11th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. After our conversation with Terry, Alan Wisdom will join us. We'll get an update on what's happened today. I believe the Presbyterian Church USA passed the voting threshold of its presbyteries to lift the ban on gay clergy. That makes them one of, I think, the fifth of the larger Protestant denominations in the United States to officially approve of gay clergy. We'll see what Alan Wisdom of the Institute on Religion and Democracy has to say about that. Then Bill McKeever will join us for Mormonism Research Ministry. Lately, scholars and church leaders, I should say Mormon leaders, have been changing, nuancing the story of Joseph Smith, the Golden Plates, and the angel Moroni, who revealed the Book of Mormon to him. How important is that story, the Joseph Smith story, to the basic beliefs of Mormons, and how is the story being changed of late? That'll round off this hour of Issues Etc. You can join us for the next hour, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, or a tweet at issuesetc. You can always visit our Facebook fan page as well, facebook.com/issuesetc. Terry Mattingly is a regular guest director of the Washington Journalism Center at the Council for Christian Colleges and Universities. He writes the weekly On Religion column for Scripps Howard News Service, and he's founder and editor of GetReligion.org. Terry, welcome back.
Hey, good to talk to you again.
If I were to look into a journalism handbook, I don't know what they call them, a standard or something, and find the word fundamentalism or fundamentalist, how would that definition, in the media's use of it, typically read?
Well, this is actually a very complicated question, but let me just give you the basics. First of all, every magazine, every newspaper, they all have their own what is referred to as a style book. In this case, style doesn't have anything to do with fanciness or writing procedures in terms of whether or not things are funny or whether they have lots of adjectives. Style, in this case, is a technical issue. And this is primarily like, how are you going to punctuate words? How are you going to describe things? I mean, when I said that every single newspaper has its own style book, what I mean by that is that there are issues that can only be solved at the local level. There are things unique to your community. My all-time favorite example of this, back when I was a copy editor, and right after that I went to Charlotte, North Carolina. Now, what would you assume you would call someone who lives in Charlotte, North Carolina? They are a...
Well, I might call them a Carolinian or something like that.
But that just gets you the state.
Yeah, I have no idea.
Well, obviously, I was trying to bait you into saying that you would call them a charlatan.
That didn't occur to me, Terry.
Okay.
All right.
But in local style, people don't want to be called a charlatan, right? So they became a charlatan. Now, I make a silly example there to let you know that this is a huge question. This is something that goes on at the local level. However, if you're going to settle that issue for the world, in other words, if you want to be able to write copy that can be used in newspapers, or at least English language newspapers around the world, there were certain basic questions you would need, and that would be solved most logically by the Associated Press. And the Associated Press is the wire service that creates the book that you often hear referred to as the Journalism Bible, and that book is called the Associated Press Manual of Style, or Style Book. And if you open that one up, for a number of decades or so, you run into the word fundamentalist and how people would define that. And the style book that's on my desk is, not this year's model, but this has not changed significantly in years. And this is in my column for Scripps Howard, but this is something that's discussed at Get Religion. I would say it comes up at almost once a month. And the reading says fundamentalist. The word gained usage in an early 20th century fundamentalist modernist controversy within Protestantism. However, fundamentalist has, to a large extent, taken on a pejorative connotations, except when applied to groups that stress strict literal interpretations of Scripture and separation from other Christians. Now, here comes the big one. That's a historical definition based on conflicts in Protestantism early in the 20th century, primarily over Darwinism. This leads to the fundamentals of the faith, and these people begin calling themselves fundamentalists. Then the key sentence in this is, in general, do not use fundamentalist unless a group applies the word to itself. So what we have here is, I'm a church history and religious history major, as well as studying journalism during my whole time in undergraduate and grad school. What we have here is a historically specific definition, right? Now, would you say that's how the word fundamentalist is used in most of the newspapers or magazines that you read?
No. In fact, I think that rule is routinely broken.
Yep. And why it's broken, or why it's beginning to be broken more and more often, is something that has always fascinated me. I mean, you end up with the fact that people throw this term around like it's a hand grenade. And like the Associated Press style book says, it's used primarily as a pejorative. It's something that people like to pin on each other, in other words, to do damage. It's what I call, as we would say in the South, them's fighting words. Or you pin one of those words on me, and it makes me mad. So now the word fundamentalist gets used in all kinds of places. In this column for Scripps, I took a piece of a quote from the famous philosopher Alvin Plantinga, best known for his work at Notre Dame, Reformed Protestant philosopher, who in one of his lighter moments for a philosopher from Notre Dame, in the midst of one of his books for Oxford Press, got into a discussion of this, and I thought described it best when he said it's become a term of abuse or disappropriation, and not to offend your readers here, but he says it's most casually resembles the semi-curse that you call someone of a Well, I mean, the proper term would be son of a something that rhymes with ditch, but in the South that gets, you know, turned into S-U-M-B-I-T-C-H, kind of slurred together, right? Planigan notes, since we're talking about religion, and since we're talking about conservative religion, the way most academics use the term fundamentalist today should be translated as stupid, some bitch. Its cognitive content is given by the phrase as considerably to the right, theologically speaking, of me and my enlightened friends. I would say that Dr. Planning has nailed it right here, that this is how most scholars, academics, politicians use the word today, and thus we now have, you know, liberal Catholics refer to Pope Benedict as a fundamentalist on issues of sexuality, even though, last time I checked, he's not a Protestant from the early 20th century who holds, you know, certain literal interpretations of Scripture or premillennial dispensationalism or the other things. We have Hindu fundamentalists fighting Islamic fundamentalists in India. A couple of years ago when I went to Prague to speak to people who work for Radio Liberty and Radio Free Europe, I spent some time with the folks with the Afghan radio service, and these were all Muslims, the entire staff, you know, that do their programs and stuff, they were all Muslims. And one of the things they asked me specifically was, why in the world do American journalists keep wanting to talk about fundamentalist Muslims? Because there is no term in Arabic or in the Muslim way of viewing the world that corresponds to what we would call fundamentalist.
Well, let's take a break right here, Terry. And when we come back, Terry says that in coverage of world religions now, as he's introduced us to this battle over language, this linguistic fight is everywhere to be found in worldwide journalism. A great example, he says, and we'll have him bring it to us on the other side of the break for a few minutes, is coverage of the goings-on in Egypt. Terry Mattingly is our guest. We're talking about the media's use of the term fundamentalist. It's Wednesday afternoon, May the 11th. After our conclusion of our conversation with Terry Mattingly, Alan Wisdom will join us. He'll tell us what's going on in the Presbyterian Church USA. Has today crossed the threshold of approving gay clergy? If you're a talk radio junkie like me, you might assume that the programming is free. Commercial advertisers pay for the production costs and staff salaries. Well, that's true for most radio talk shows, but not for Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is listener-supported. We rely on you to pay for the production, salary, and airtime costs for this worldwide outreach. Hi, this is Todd Wilkin asking you to consider making a tax-deductible gift to Issues Etc. today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or you can donate by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio. The address? LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Remember, unlike other talk radio shows, Issues Etc. needs your financial support. We depend on you for the continuation and expansion of Issues Etc. Thanks for your consideration.
Smartest listeners in radio, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Did you know that you can listen to Issues Etc. live on most smartphones? Just go to the Listen Live page of our website, issuesetc.org, click the smartphone link, and you can listen on your smartphone weekday afternoons between 3 to 5 Central. Old Theology, New Technology, Issues Etc. now broadcasting live to the world on most smartphones. Issues Etc. issuesetc.org.
Issues Etc. regular guests Pastor Matt Harrison, Deaconess Pam Nielsen, and Pastor Brian Wolfmiller will be speaking at the Premier Worship Conference of 2011. Sing His Praise, His Love Declare. It's July 27th through the 29th on the campus of Concordia University, Nebraska. For more information on the worship conference, Sing His Praise, His Love Declare, visit seward2011.org or call 402-643-2983. Welcome back to Issues Etc. Terry Mattingly is our guest for the next few minutes, talking about media's use of the term fundamentalist. Terry, you say that this confusion makes it very hard for researchers with good intentions to shed light on news events in complex cultures. You use as an example Egypt. Please do.
Well, yeah, this is the whole point. The reason that people like Molly Ziegler-Hemingway and me and others care so much about this issue is we care about journalists being able to communicate information. And in some media outlets, and so now I've mentioned it in my column for Scripps, we recently had a study come out from the Pew Research Center's Global Attitudes Project, and it was trying to help us understand what's happening in Egypt right now. The problem, though, is once again the word fundamentalist comes into play, and they found that in their opinion, there are some Muslims who have begun using an Arabic word which they say translates essentially down to something sort of fundamentalist. It's a word that means something like close to the root, the foundation of the faith. Perhaps it could be translated as radical. Now, the reason I say this, in most of our courts, in most of our newspapers today, we're not getting very crisp discussions of the differences between groups in Islam. And I would argue that right now on the world scale, there are few issues as important to us as understanding the arguments between Muslims. And if we don't have words that we can use and that readers can read the copy and know what they mean, how are we supposed to know what's happening? And this poll shows pretty well that fundamentalist is becoming a word that nobody knows what it means. It's just they're just using it. I wish I could go into all the details, but suffice it to say, the poll finds that about 60% of Egyptians are behaving in a way that scholars have called fundamentalist in other contexts. But yet it's not called fundamentalist in this poll. Only about 30% of Egypt is called fundamentalist according to the language of this poll. But when you ask them what the word fundamentalist means, nobody knows. And you say, well, that's all just grammar. It's all just words. No, it's not. It's the difference between 30% of the Egyptian population and 60 to 65% of the Egyptian population. If we don't know what these people believe and if we don't know why they believe it, how do we understand the news? And that's why I get so passionate about these words. I wish journalists would stop using vague labels and just describe for us the actual beliefs of the people they're trying to cover. And fundamentalist to me has become the symbolic word for that fight within journalism. Stop using labels and just give us some information.
Terry Mattingly is director of the Washington Journalism Center at the Council for Christian Colleges and Universities. He writes the weekly On Religion column for Scripps Howard News Service. He's founder and editor of GetReligion.org. You'll find a link to Get Religion and to Terry Mattingly's columns under the Listen On Demand page at issuesetc.org. Terry, thank you again.
You bet.